wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune, he talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves, we talking Scott Catoon.
Seems that this week is MedTech week for everybody at Technori. All of our guests are in the MedTech space, so we figured we might as well double down and bring in one of the companies that has been talked about quite a bit the last few months. If you've caught some of the stories, I believe Chicago Inno had some stuff. Built in Chicago always has stuff. John Gribben, the CEO of Curable Health, is going to join me right now. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is Technori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. Good to be here.
So without further ado, for those people who, for whatever reason, have missed out on what Curable Health is, why don't you give us just a real easy elevator pitch on what Curable Health is, and then we'll get into kind of how you built it, your journey a little bit. We'll talk about Northwestern, because why not? And then sort of learn about where you think Curable Health is going and med tech in general.
Sure.
So what is Curable Health?
Curable Health is an online therapy program for people who suffer from chronic pain. Chronic pain is back pain, persistent back pain, persistent knee pain, persistent shoulder pain, migraine headaches. Basically, it's defined medically as any type of pain that persists for longer than 3 to 6 months. We focus on a kind of subset of that, which is non-malignant chronic pain, so not related to cancer. And we have developed a therapy program for folks who have chronic pain.
Well, I'm going to give you a real life example with this, because I actually am one of those people. I have always suffered from back pain, lower back pain in particular. There's some injuries and things here and there, but for the most part, in my puny brain, when it comes to this kind of stuff, it is related to the fact that I don't take that great care of myself and I don't stretch, particularly before and after working out.
Uh-huh.
And so I have this like lower back pain that has been chiropractors, everybody, it doesn't make a difference. It's still there. Obviously, when I stretch properly, it's better. So I want to kind of learn how a person like me would be able to use Curable Health.
Sure. How long have you had your back pain?
I mean, it's been years. I would say intermittently, depending on when I'm taking care of myself or not, it's maybe better or worse, but the severity of pain is pretty high. Like when there are times where weeks at a time, every day, it's been hard to sit in a chair, mm-hmm. or it's been hard to stand or whatever. So, it would definitely be, and there have been times where it hasn't hurt, but on and off for years.
Right. Your story is, very familiar to us. We hear it all the time. The familiarities in your story to many of our users is that you have tried so many things. You know, you say chiropractic, yep. and these other interventions, and nothing works. And I was in your shoes as well, which is kind of the founding story of our company. I had pretty bad low back pain for 15 years from when I was 19 years old. So,
same here. For like me, it was like I was sidelined playing. This sounds like a real tough story. Sidelined playing golf in high school.
Yeah.
Because it got to a point where it would cramp up and I just couldn't, even now, like this summer playing golf, there are times when I have to stop and go, sit down on the somewhere on the tee box and stretch and stretch and stretch and just hope it doesn't lock up, because then the round is over.
Okay, so you and I are in the same boat, yep. and so are about 35 million other Americans with chronic back pain.
Good market for you.
100 million Americans is the estimate on chronic pain, but back pain alone is in the 30 to 35 million range. The best way to explain this is to kind of start with the difference between acute pain and chronic pain. And acute pain is often caused by structural damage or tissue damage or disease. You tear your ACL and you have structural damage in your ACL. You herniate a disc and you have, there's physical structural damage in your back. The human body is designed or has evolved into an organism that can heal itself within 3 to 6 months. If the sensation of pain is still felt after that 6 month mark, then it has become chronic, not acute anymore.
Yep.
And it has become more complicated. So it is not usually simply structural anymore. It becomes psychological.
I was just going to say, it's a head case, and I have always just kind of speculated that I'm just a weak one.
it becomes psychological, it becomes emotional, it becomes social. There are a lot of kind of factors involved as pain chronifies, it becomes more complex. And so the what we see as the best way to treat chronic pain at that stage is to educate folks on what is happening and how it has evolved from a purely physical purely physical causes to now more complex causes, and then deliver evidence-based interventions to help kind of basically rewire the brain, rewire the nervous system. So in your case, I think you're a very good candidate for our app, our program. And I'll also say that there are physicians, offline physicians, who practice this type of medicine, who are advisors to us and who have helped thousands of people, and some of whom are in Chicago here, who you could also go see.
Which I hear also will come at a 20% discount for those who use Technori. If you go to getcurable.com/Technori, you will save 20%, which I will be doing after the show.
Great. Well, thank you. Yeah, sure.
Got to fit that in there. Yeah. Got to fit that in there.
Yes.
But so I mean, walk me through that. So it's I clearly am a candidate for using Curable Health.
Right.
What would it look like for me then? So let's say I sign up for this, I get my 20% off, and I have you guys prescribe to me some sort of solving. Like I get on the app, there's some sort of like individual plan to attack this. How does it work? Like, okay, for me now as a customer.
So the interface of the Curable application is a chatbot. It's a smart coach, virtual coach.
Yep.
Her name is Clara, and she will greet you at the very beginning and start talking about chronic pain and your pain and ask you questions about your pain. And then in her brain, she has a large and growing catalog of resources developed alongside of us, but by neuroscientists and physicians and physical therapists, all of whom are kind of surround our company, you know, the true experts.
Yeah.
And Clara then will, based on the inputs that you give to her, you have back pain, say, you've had it for this long, you've tried these things, she will then design a custom program for you, tapping into that catalog of resources. And so the way your program would unfold is that you get a variety of cognitive exercises on a, say, daily basis or a couple times a week, that Clara will walk you through, tell you why you're doing them, how it can benefit you, and then actually deliver the exercise to you. You do the exercise yourself, self-management program, and over time, you are supposed to get better.
Very cool. This is awesome. So I guess you mentioned kind of, you made this, you know, about you a little bit in that you said that this is something that kind of happened to you. Walk me through, you know, you're a Northwestern law grad, correct?
That's right.
So if I say something wrong here, we're probably liable.
I haven't practiced in a decade.
Well, but I'm sure you still know lawyers. There's a lot of them around. I think there's a one lawyer per room in Chicago rule, I think, is the minimum. But unfortunately, it's not the maximum. But the end here is I want to figure out how you went from your background to I have this problem to I'm going to jump into the med tech space, because honestly, med tech is one that I always kind of like. Almost all the med tech people who've come on our show, and there'll be a couple after you, you know, Explore the Aura is one that comes to mind, come from right out of the hospital room.
Right.
And they are very focused on, well, I should say in the past, they were very focused on human use case. So humans using technical tools to be more efficient, to solve bigger problems, to be able to help people sooner by, you know, AR, VR, things like this. Now I'm starting to see companies that are using, like you mentioned, AI and bot to sort of supplement and to get the, like you said, the smarter people, to get the smarter people closer to me to tell me what's really going on.
Right.
I'm very fascinated as to how you got from wherever the hell you were to a person with back pain solving it and going, yep, I'm going to build an AI app for 35 million back problem sufferers.
I do want to share my personal story, but there's a few other points that you bring up in what you just said that are, I think, also you know, worth discussing here. One of those is it was almost kind of implied in what you're asking that, you know, a lot of folks come from, say, a medical background.
Yep.
And then use that medical expertise to then do something to help other people with technology. You know,
but they typically, and so this is just my very limited scope, so I'm not putting this out for everybody. Typically, though, what I have noticed, and I think we could probably talk about this also, is the difference between you and your background and them and theirs, is that they tend to they tend to build a solution around the human being and supplement the human being with random pieces of technology, mm-hmm. rather than going the opposite, which is start with the technology, source as much information as you can, learn as much as we can about the patient, and then use human beings as needed, because it's cheaper, mm-hmm. to build a solution. And it's interesting to me always when I get a chance to talk to someone like you who doesn't come from that background per se, or at least I'm assuming you don't come from being a doctor background, that I almost feel like there's more of a blue sky for people who come from the outside and are like, we could do anything. You know what I mean?
Right, sure. So, sure. And you know, what I was going to say too is that chronic pain is unique in that, I'll kind of throw out some stats here that are relevant to what we're talking about.
Boys, these are tweets. Get ready for the tweets.
It's estimated that between 30 and 40% of all primary care appointments in the U.S. involve complaints of chronic pain. Okay, so we're talking tens of millions of doctor's appointments a year involve chronic pain. Yet, it's also been studied and published that only about 65% of primary care doctors, only 35% of primary care doctors feel comfortable treating chronic pain. Okay, so you have 65% who don't quite feel comfortable treating chronic pain. And there are a number of reasons for that, but
you could throw another stat on top of this, which I think maybe builds into this conversation. Is I'm blanking right now on who the healthcare tech company was here, but it's like 45 to 50% of chronic, in other words, not for acute services, mm-hmm. patients don't show up at the doctor's appointments that have been scheduled. You layer on top of the fact that, like, yes, there's cost to me, there's cost to insurers, and there's cost to the doctors themselves, which is probably why they don't want to treat it.
Right. And so you have a lot of people with the problem. 100 million adults in the U.S. So that's one in every 2.5 adults have this condition, chronic pain. And you have 65% of first line physicians, so primary care physicians, seeing an inundation, a wave of these people every year who don't quite feel comfortable treating them, don't feel educated, don't have gone through med school, and the U.S. med school system did not give them the answers to chronic pain because they're kind of hard to, complicated. It's not the doctor's problem or the educator's problem. It's that it's tricky. And so, so we surround ourselves with physicians. We know the importance of physicians. We know that physicians are interfacing with the people with chronic pain. But physicians are looking for answers to this problem too. So we're, you know, while we're not physicians, I think you might be right in what you say. We might be better positioned to have that blue sky approach, surround ourselves with smart people and experts.
Yeah.
And what we're doing basically is taking all the work in pain science that people way smarter than us are doing, you know, at Stanford and Johns Hopkins and Mayo Clinic. And
Northwestern, man, you went there.
And Northwestern.
There, across the street, great, for Christ's sake.
There's some great studies and research coming out of Northwestern, too, in pain. But we're taking all that, and we are converting it to something that is digestible for the people with pain.
Yep.
It's one thing to publish a study at Stanford that talks about the psychological and brain connection to chronic pain. It's an entirely different thing to actually deliver that to somebody who needs it. And that's where we come in.
Well, I'll try to summarize that literally in a sentence. This is another tweet for the road here. I look at it like when I speak to doctors, the solution that I get to this problem is snip the nerves. When I talk to people like yourself, the solution to this problem is we can build an app that can help retrain your brain and not snip your nerves.
You got it. There you
Bingo.
Go.
If you guys are hiring CMO, I'm the man. I'm right here for you.
Or get addicted to opioids.
Yeah, that's the most people are doing that anyway. So that's like, I don't, you know, maybe you could do like a blockchain and you could sell tokens of curable health and then use that to, like, you know, sell opioids and things off the
street. I wish I would have brought a pen and a pad in here.
That's, yeah, well, I think they called that Silk Road, and that guy's in jail. So maybe you don't want to
do that.
Okay. I would say probably not.
Okay.
So very fascinating. I'm glad that we got to take kind of a deep dive of this. I find it very fascinating when I see companies like this, because I do think that, like, this is a major problem. I think it's a major drain on some of the people that whose resources we're using for something that's not meant to be used for. I think spending time with doctors that could be treating patients who actually can be treated that way, it's a solution for everybody. So this is great. I appreciate you taking the time to walk us through Curable Health. I want to spend a little bit of last remaining time here with you, just kind of learning your sort of your journey as a founder. It's mm-hmm. not necessarily about Curable Health as much as it is just, what was it like getting into med tech? What were the things you were afraid of, and how'd you overcome them? Or did you?
Well,
have you overcome them?
You know, I have. I've run a few businesses in my past,
yep.
and I come from a family of entrepreneurs. So, so entrepreneurship is not something new to me. However, far and away, Curable is the most mission-driven company that I've been a part of in my life. And so when, you know, when it's about the mission, it makes it the fear, all that stuff that comes with being in a startup or starting a company or starting from, you know, building something from nothing to something, you know, that is a little bit more digestible because there's a mission there. You're actually helping real people. You know, we get emails all the time and phone calls quite a bit too, from users of ours who say, I was in back pain for 10 years, debilitating back pain, and now I'm up running, playing with my kids and so on. That kind of response, that kind of connection with people, it converts your customer from, in past businesses that I've run, it converts your customer from a source of revenue. You know, that's kind of how I would look at it, say, in another business. Your customer is now, you know, a human being, somebody you're like really, really helping. And so the Curable's founding story is fraught with all of the same pitfalls and pivots and fear and anxiety that, and I'm sure that that will be also the future part of Curable too.
It's not
over yet, but, that any other startup faces. But when you have a mission that you really believe in and you're helping people with a big problem in their lives, you know, it makes it all worthwhile.
It's funny to me when I talk to obviously a lot of founders, and this is not to say exclusively here's the ones that win, here's the ones that don't, but for the most part, the people who come in and we've all been through lots. You know, there's a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of, you know, got a family, you've got all kinds of stuff that you're, you know, trying to balance in your head and on top of this business. And the ones that come in and sort of, I don't know how to say, I don't know what to say the right word is, but complain is the wrong term, but there's like a lot of things we're dealing with and there's a lot of stress. You can see the strain on their face
mm-hmm.
versus those that are like, oh man, it's so exciting. Like things are falling apart right in front of us. It's great. I'm like grabbing all these pieces and I'm running with it. It's not to say that you don't have to take the stress because you do. It's your business, right? But there's an obsession component to solving this problem for someone that you have taken on as your role.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, I see you, like, not to say that there aren't wrinkles, because, you know, you gotta get through stuff. But, like, that's all stuff that's sort of part of the journey. And the founders that have this obsession with not success, but solving the problem that they set out for is interesting. I see that in you, which is, it's not that my opinion means anything. But having seen a million entrepreneurs sit here, it's cool to me to see someone who's, like, just jazzed about trying to find a way to solve this problem, and that's it. And we'll do whatever we have to do to get there, but that's the goal.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Scott. And, you know, we didn't get too into too much detail about my personal story, but remember that I am one of these people.
I'm not the founder. I'm a customer.
It's right. That's exactly right. I had 15 years of really bad back pain. I know how our customers, our users feel.
Yep.
And I know how incredible it was to, you know, to kind of come through that. And so that, you know, it makes the mission and growing this company that much more meaningful.
What do you think are the next things you need to do at Curable, other than obviously, you know, onboard more customers and meet more doctors and get more smart in your AI?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think are the things you need to do to continue to build Curable Health to hit that curve the way it's currently projected?
We publicly launched the program, the app in June of this year. And we've had very nice growth for those 7 months of 2017. I see in 2018, right now we have about half of our users, our customers or paying customers come from physician referrals or physical therapy referrals, so providers referring into Curable. I hope in 2018 to start really establishing relationships with providers. With, yep, like I said, doctors are looking for an answer too.
I feel like we got to get Curable Health in every Walgreens across the country.
Well, that would be exact something like that, where you're, where when you go see your primary care doctor and you complain of migraine headaches or you complain of back pain, and they're kind of, you know, now with new regulations saying they can't prescribe opioids, mm, and what do I do? What do I do as a physician? At least we can be a first option, a safe first option. Doesn't mean we're going to fix everybody, but it means that at least people get exposure to it.
Yeah.
So I'd like that to be a big part of 2018, is forming relationships with providers. And then down the road, you know, software, we have been quite successful in our ability, what we call our efficacy and our ability to help people with software alone. But we also know that software alone is going to leave to the side quite a few people who need help too. And so we do want to, as time goes on, become almost an outbound referral center ourselves. So people come into us with chronic pain conditions. We have then a network all over the country, potentially the world. This is the big picture thing.
Yeah.
Where if we triage you, if Curable, if the app triages you and you work through our program and you still need a little help, that we can then refer you out to a provider who knows what they're doing, knows about chronic pain, knows
you become mission control for the entry level pain sufferer.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Right.
Very cool. This is awesome.
Thank you
so much for
please
coming.
Please try the app, Scott. I
don't have a choice now. Told it to you on the show. I don't have a choice. If you don't right. see Tech Nori go through
now.
There, it's going to be like, that guy's full of shit. Anyway, thank you, John, so much for coming in and taking the time. Where do people go to download the app and to learn more about Curable?
Okay, so fun news as of this morning, and it's you know, coming on your show.
Timely. Breaking.
We have just launched native apps in both the Apple and Google app stores. For the past year, it's been available as a web app on our website, which is www.curablehealth.com. But now you can go to either app store and get it there too.
Very cool. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Remember, you can use Tech Nori on this. So if you use the Tech Nori code, save yourself 20% on solving your back pain. I think it's a great, great deal. You can catch this episode of more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Tech Nori. Or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.